Soon after taking office, President Barack Obama issued an executive order calling for the closure of the U.S. detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, within a year. But the question of how to treat and where to place the detainees held there remain unresolved. In a speech on national security issues made at the National Archive on May 21st, Mr. Obama issued a set of policy statements, often contradicting the principles he articulated during his campaign for the White House. While banning torture and abuse of terrorist suspects held by the U.S. military and CIA, the president now says he'll adopt the Bush-era policy of indefinite preventive detention of certain terrorist suspects, denying them due process in military or civilian courts. Mr. Obama also reversed his prior forceful opposition to George W. Bush's military commissions used to try terrorist suspects being held at Guantanamo. Now, the president says he wants to make several congressionally approved changes to the commissions, a position that many human rights groups reject as inadequate to address the deep flaws of the system. Meanwhile, former Vice President Cheney, Republican legislators, and right-wing talk show hosts accuse Mr. Obama of endangering national security with his plan to move many of the 240 detainees held at Guantanamo to U.S. prisons. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Elizabeth Guaitin, director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Guaitin explains why she is troubled by many of President Obama's positions on the treatment of Guantanamo detainees.
I think that, you know, President Obama did oppose, well, when he was a senator, he opposed President Bush's military commissions. He is now saying that he has not changed his position, that really his problem was not with military commissions in general, but with President Bush's particular form of military commissions. But what's disturbing is that the form that President Obama is now proposing really looks very, very similar to what President Bush had in mind. And in particular, these commissions will still allow detainees to be tried and convicted to life sentences or even to the death penalty based on evidence that was coerced. Now, President Obama has said that evidence obtained by cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment is off the table. And that's good. But there's a level of abuse that falls short of cruel, inhuman, and degrading that is still coercion, that essentially is an involuntary confession by the defendant that will be used, that will be at least on the table to be used in order to put people away for life or even subject them to the death penalty.
Elizabeth, what's your assessment of President Obama's striving for some new legal framework in which to hold detainees indefinitely without trial? Again, very similar to what President Bush had done before. It seems that there have been some high-value, as they call them, al-Qaeda suspects in custody who have been tortured, some of them horribly, who can't go to trial. And therefore, there's a reluctance, of course, to release them. Your comment?
Well, at this point, we don't know that there is such a thing as a detainee that we currently have in custody who cannot be tried in a court of law for whatever reason. So we're all talking in hypotheticals. And I think people are a little too willing to accept this hypothetical that there's such a thing as a detainee who cannot be tried or convicted for anything. And in fact, our laws make it extremely easy to put people away for support of terrorism. They don't even have to have engaged in terrorist activity. So, for example, Ali al-Mari, who was designated an enemy combatant and held in this country, pled guilty to conspiracy to support terrorism. So that was two steps removed from actual terrorist activity, and he still faces 15 years in prison. So it's not that difficult to put people in prison for association with terrorist activity. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is, if it really is the case that the only good evidence, or the only evidence that we have to put somebody away was obtained by torture, then we don't have any good evidence. I mean, the idea that torture somehow produces reliable evidence that's sufficient to actually put somebody in jail or even subject them to the death penalty has, I hope, been debunked by this stage in the debate.
In principle, you are very much opposed to preventive detention as are many other human rights groups. And what is at stake here in terms of the whole methodology of enemy combatants and holding people forever if necessary without trial or access to attorneys, which was the brand of the Bush administration? What's at stake for our country and the rule of law here?
I think what's at stake is who we are as a nation. I mean, we have never done this. We have never had a law that enables our government to put people in jail conceivably forever based on no evidence, no charges, but simply a prediction that they would be dangerous if they were released. And, you know, it is true that the law of war, in some circumstances, allows the government to hold enemy combatants during the duration of the conflict. But the war that we're fighting right now is a very different war. And somehow that notion that it's a different war is always invoked in order to take away rights from the detainees. But sometimes I think it cuts the other way. And in this situation, this is a war that we know isn't going to end within our lifetimes. There is no defining event that can end this war. And that being the case, I think it would just be a violation of everything this country stands for to say that these detainees can be locked away for the duration of the conflict, knowing that it's a life sentence, knowing that it's a life sentence that's being imposed without any charges, any evidence of a crime.
Elizabeth, as we conclude, as you said at the outset, there was a lot of hope that President Obama would make a clean break with what many feel are unconstitutional powers that were invoked by the Bush administration after the September 11th attacks. But it looks like in many of these cases, Obama has adopted them for himself, maybe with some changes. But are you optimistic this can be turned around with enough public pressure?
Sure. I think it can be. And I'm definitely encouraged and heartened by the fact that there's so much public discourse right now about these issues, even at a time when the economy is in such a predicament and there are other priorities like healthcare that are very much on people's minds. And I think it is really a testament to the American public that they understand the importance of these issues and that they're still concerned and talking about these issues. So I think that's a very hopeful sign, and I absolutely think that there's still an opportunity for this administration and this Congress to do the right thing on these issues.
That was Elizabeth Goitein, Director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Contact the center by calling area code 212-998-6730 or visit their website at brenncenter.org.